17 minutes after the hour 4. If you've just tuned in, welcome, and welcome to another edition of Spirit Wednesday. It's Wednesday, the 28th of February, the last Wednesday of February. And if you've just tuned in, it is indeed a Spirit Wednesday. I'm joined in studio by Dr. Charles Pritchard. Dr. Charles, good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Father.
How are you?
I'm very well, and you?
You're all composed today. You were not composed before we went on air.
am I chilled now?
No. You look very serious now. Doc, where have you been? What has been happening?
Yeah, we've just been, you know, doing our ministry, doing the, you know, deliverance prayers, counseling. We've did a seminar recently in Cape Town.
Wow.
A healing seminar.
Great.
And we're going to be doing a few more.
Wow.
One in Port Nolloth, another one in Cape Town again.
Yeah.
Another one in Portugal.
Great.
Wow. So, you know, people want to hear about God's love. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to empower communities to start their own prayer groups, and do similar to what we're doing, and then spread God's the messages, you know, through Fernanda, the messages we're getting and all that.
Wow. It sounds like the ministry is growing bigger and bigger.
Yeah, it seems to be taking its course. Eh?
What do you attribute to this growth that's taken place?
Well, it's God. He's obviously, he's behind it all, you know. He says this is going to be a big mission for his son's glory, because Fernanda is his messenger for his second coming. But it's also like when people, they come to us for prayers and they get these healings done before, you know, Jesus heals, then they end up taking us to their parishes. So that's how it works.
Wow. Do you think there's a great need for healing in our church and in society today?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, I think there's not enough Jesus in people's lives. And he's the healer. He is our healer. He says, I'm the healer of thee. You know, so he brings us that peace and that calm and that tranquility that we look for all our lives, but we're often looking in the wrong place.
Indeed. We always have to go through the detour before we get to our destinations, I guess.
Yeah, we knock our heads a few times and then we realize, oh, it's Jesus.
Oh, well.
He's the healer.
There's value in that, I guess, hey?
Yeah.
So what are we talking about this afternoon, Doc?
Father, it's your decision. You know, I can talk on any topic you want.
All right.
We can talk deliverance. We can talk Lent. We can talk whatever you want. We spoke about Lent last week.
And we did Lent the previous week. And last week we had Father Charles. Father Joseph. And last week I kept on calling Father Charles, Father Joseph, Dr. Charles. You see what happens. Yeah. But anyhow, so I was actually thinking perhaps let's get into some of the Lenten practices that we had started. Remember last week we were talking about the last time you were here, actually we spoke about the importance of almsgiving, the importance of prayer, and the importance of
fasting.
And what we could do is we could we'll open the lines at exactly 5, but I just want, it's exactly 2 weeks now. Getting into week 3. How are people? Where are people? Have people fallen off the bandwagon?
Actually,
what are some of because people are, we are now in the desert. Really, we've just got into the, we're 2 weeks into the desert, and maybe just to check on our listeners how they're doing in the desert, and are they really in the desert? Have they gone to the desert? If they did go, you know, because some people just do a little stop by and get out.
I think a lot of people start with good intent, and then they fall. You know what I mean? And then they feel bad and everything. But God is merciful, you know. And like I always say, don't tell God I'm going to do this and this and this. Rather set a program and then in your heart aim for it, because you don't want to make a promise you can't keep. You know what I'm saying? And if you haven't kept it, take it to confession, ask for forgiveness. God is merciful and forgiving. And don't make a direct agreement with God, if you know what I'm saying. A lot of people make promises to God and they can't fulfill them. So we must be careful. And it's the same with anybody, actually.
Right. Is there, you seem to advise not to make that direct agreement with God. Why?
So, no, what I would do, so the way well, this is just my personal, I just sort of set a program in my mind, and I say I'm going to do my best to fast as much as I can on this program. But I don't make a contract, because if I slip up, then I've broken it. You know what I'm saying?
What does fasting do to you and for you?
Fasting, it cleanses your soul. You grow spiritually. And it's also a sacrifice that you're offering up for your sins, but also for others as well. So when you couple your fasting with your prayer, it's more powerful. It's also showing God how much you love Him, and that you, you're not sort of attached to all these worldly vices, and you want to grow with Him in the Spirit.
So by fasting, do we then fast with an intention, or do we just fast because we're fasting?
I would add an intention. It's for the salvation of souls. It's for if there's personal issues in your family. Jesus wants us to pray. So I would always couple it with pre-intentions. So the way I see it is, if you're praying a rosary, but you're fasting with it. So instead of saving, for argument's sake, 1,000 souls in praying a rosary, look, God's got, you can't put a number to it. Now maybe with fasting it's 2,000, maybe it's 3,000, I don't know.
Or just 1,001.
Or maybe it's, instead of one, it's two. You know what I mean? God's, so he will use that sacrifice for His glory, for His people as well.
And temptations?
Yes, well, I speak from personal experience. I've been, every night I've been attacked. The day the lens started.
Is it?
The evil comes to me in the dreams.
How have you been attacked?
He comes in the dreams. Okay. He tries all his tricks.
What is he trying now in your dream?
So there's, he's got various strategies.
Yeah.
The one is to try and get you to sin. Okay. So what he'll do is he'll hold on to your, if you've got any unconfessed sin, he's going to put that in a scene. He's got a bondage on you, so he'll put you in the middle of that sinful scene with the hope that you're going to carry it on, and you're going to be lured into doing other things.
Right.
So that's the one strategy of him. Now, if you're sharp, you can use that to you pray to the Holy Spirit to identify where your unconfessed sin is, and you start taking that to confession.
Right.
Because the other one is he will try and confuse you.
Okay.
So, this is actually quite funny what he did.
The
2 days ago.
What happened?
Now, there was a person I was helping that was with me, and there was John Cleese. Now, you know John Cleese, the comedian, isn't
he? Yeah.
And he's sitting there and he's all joking and this, and he says, and you got to have this, and you got to have take this stuff here to get him off the drugs, and this, and then you must do hypnotism, and this, but he was talking all fast, and you know what I mean? And I'm like just looking at this, and I think, no, this is not of God. And then I realized what was going on, and I just said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And then this thing turned into an ugly demon with lots of hands, and that was disgusting. And then it disappeared.
Was this in a dream?
Yes. And
then
he did this Cleese character. You remember, because these evil spirits can disguise themselves wherever they want.
Yeah.
That character and the guy next to me just disappeared after I was calling Jesus. I woke up.
Wow.
So he was trying to get me to agree in the dream somehow. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the one, but he tries all his tricks.
Wow,
all
clearly,
his tricks.
Clearly
lots
the
of
devil
them.
Is very busy and he doesn't let go, hey?
Yeah, he tries to come also and give you information that about maybe the past, about questions you've had, so he can get you to try and divinate as well. You see, so you get a bit more understanding on something, and then he wants you to go and say that to other people. A lot of people have been caught in the trap of divination.
Yeah.
What they're doing is they're using their dreams to pick up, to make prophecies, which is completely against scriptures. I mean, I must actually read the verse. It's in Sirach, where he says, it's all lying omens, it's all divination, you must just ignore it. And then in Isaiah, he says, dreams lift up fools. Mm. So we put too much on, you know what I mean? So it's all those sort of things that he tries, you know, like different strategies. So most of the time, those things you're engaging with, those you think they're people, they're actually evil spirits.
The things you think you're engaging with are not people, but they're actually evil spirits, says Dr. Charles. In case you've just tuned in, it is Radio Veritas. It's on DSTV, it's 870. On medium wave, it's 576 AM. And on your device, Blueberry, Blackberry, or on your OGBK, we come into you live from www.radioveritas.co.za. It's 28 minutes after the hour 4. If you've just tuned in, please do not touch that dial and welcome. That was Waymaker. It brings us to exactly 26 minutes before the hour 5. And if you've just tuned in, it is a Spirit Wednesday on Radio Veritas. I'm joined in studio by Dr. Charles Pritchard. And we're having really interesting conversations off here. I was thinking, you know, when we talk about land, we talk about the sacrifices. Not only do we talk about sacrifices, but we also talk, it's a desert experience. And I think I'd like us to focus on some of the challenges that we face in the desert. Mm, and specifically coming from our families and the people that loved us, that yes. love us and that love us or loved us, I don't know, and that claim to love us, because that could be a big source of persecution, a big source of destruction, and a big source of derailment in our lives. So I think let's get into that, the whole, and in some people it could be even their marriages, because somebody who's supposed to be your spiritual partner is the person who's actually now breaking you spiritually.
Yes. So so what happens if you're going more God's way and you're doing the fasting and you're doing all these...
You're doing the rosaries. You're doing the divine
you're
mercies.
You're doing the confessions. You're going to mass. You're really trying to get strong with Jesus.
And you've got a partner who's a bit weak or who's just not serious about the whole thing.
Yeah. So what the evil's going to do is he's going to find the weakest link. And it starts with the family. Okay?
Uh-huh.
The ones closest to you.
Yeah.
So if he can use them to try and break you down, then he's happy. You know, so because he's getting, he gets angry, you know, with what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So he will find, it could be a parent, it could be a child.
It could be a sibling,
it could be your partner, your spouse,
mm-hmm.
And he'll come and try and weasel his way in there. So because he's got more authority on someone who's spiritually weaker,
mm-hmm.
And then he'll use that person to try and break you down, maybe to curse you, to get angry with you, to whatever.
So at what point
is.
Then do we realize, hang on, I think I'm under attack here spiritually?
So what you need to do is you need to keep your peace. That's the main thing.
Like hold your peace.
Don't meet fire with fire.
Oh no, isn't that a sign of weakness?
No. That's what the evil wants you to do.
Uh-huh.
It's a sign of strength if you meet fire with love.
Uh-huh.
With water, you want to put it that way.
Did you call love water? All right, okay.
don't add more fuel to it.
Okay.
So like one of the messages Jesus says, he says, don't feed the lion.
Mm.
So like when you're under attack, let's say you're getting false accused.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you go into something with good intent.
Yeah.
And then you blamed, oh, why did you do this and this? And, you know, but it's the wrong thing. Just keep your peace.
Mm-hmm.
Stay calm. Let the person vent. Let them do their thing. Maybe at night you can go and pray and you can rebuke that curse. You say whatever foul words were put upon you, you can rebuke it in the name of Jesus. You know, if you're called an idiot or you're called a loser or you're lazy. Those are all curses.
Yeah.
That people curse each other often and they don't realize it. That gives evil authority to come and implement on you.
Yeah.
And then you start feeling like that and start maybe believing those lies and it does whatever the evil tries to do, whatever he can through the authority of that curse.
Mm.
So what you do is you just break that curse. You rebuke it. You say, you evil spirits that are coming to through this person who cursed me, who called me an idiot, I command you to leave, to go to the foot of the cross of Jesus.
Mm.
And then you just forgive the person and you pray for them.
Mm.
That'll water those dry fields.
Mm-hmm.
The person in time will stop doing that.
Mm.
You can't curse back or shout back, because then they're going to keep coming.
No, you can't. I mean, Scripture tells us that
it'll get them angry.
Yeah, it does get them angry, and Scripture is very clear about that. Scripture tells us that it's the pagans have an eye for an eye, but you who are mine, you who I've called my own, you shall not have an eye for an eye.
Mm, because if Jesus did that on the cross, he would have destroyed everybody that was trying to kill him. But he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and he kept his peace, even though he was in a lot of pain.
Yeah. I'm thinking of somebody who's got a partner, who's got a child, who is not very active either spiritually or even in the church. How do they, because sometimes those people become distractions, so how do they make sure that they either drag them along to be part and parcel of the process, or they don't become instruments of this negative energy and negative vibes that we have? Because you get some people, you get husbands that are very, very devoted, who want to go to church, who go to every mass, who go to every confession, every divine mercy and every rosary. And the wife, on the other hand, is busy painting her nails and doing her hair.
Or vice versa. In South Africa, it's probably more the other way around.
No, it depends, really. I think it depends what kind. It's specific with certain communities.
Then
you have communities where the dads will drop their wives and their kids at church and come fetch them.
Yeah, let them pray. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, the idea is you're praying for me.
That's
now
it.
Already as a unit, it already shows that you are very divided.
Mm.
You see.
So the family that prays together stays together.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's one
cheesy as it might sound, yeah.
That's even one of the messages. Jesus said it.
Yeah.
So if someone in your family is not playing ball, maybe your partner, what you do is don't force them, because that's just going to make them more upset, because God doesn't force his will on anybody.
Mm.
You know?
He doesn't violate you.
Yeah, young children, of course, they've got to toe the line, because they need to learn to toe the line when they're little ones. You know what I mean? And that's where they learn it. So don't give them the choice, because it's like, you know, people say, oh, no, I'll leave my child. When they're older, they can choose to be baptized
or
whatever. They may as well say, well, then let them, make them decide when they're older if they want to brush their teeth as well.
Yeah.
By that time, the teeth are gone, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So my advice is, if your spouse is not keen to go, you just go.
Mm-hmm.
Go and don't be upset, and pray for the person, and ask God to allow you to go so the other one doesn't shut you down, and then change your ways.
Mm-hmm.
Focus on God, focus on your sins, not your partner's sins, your sins. Cleanse yourself in confession, your sins. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And then you become that instrument, that channel that God can use, that will set the example in the family, and then the others will follow in time. They might not follow straight away, but your prayers and your example will plant the seed, and it will come in time.
Mm.
But it takes patience and time.
It's a lot of time and patience, really.
Yeah.
And a lot of going back and forth to God.
Yeah, and then a lot of people will blame God or Jesus for not answering their prayers, because they want it now, but they don't realize Jesus does it in his time. Mm. Everything's in his time.
And what is this time like?
You see, his time is, like, I'll give you an example in my case.
Yeah.
I had to wait till I was 43 years old to catch a wake up. My mother died. I lost a friend. We were fighting at home. And I had all these blessings with the business and everything, but I was spiritually
lost. You were
lost,
empty.
And I was empty.
Yeah.
And it was the loss of my mother that triggered me. What is this all about?
Mm.
And then I started searching with a proper desire and will, and I wanted to, in my heart, help people.
Did your search take you to the wrong place?
No, so I started looking. I started looking everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading all the different religions, because, you know, I'm an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, I've got to, I must
study. It has to be systematic.
I need to work this out properly, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then I'd get, this is doing nothing for me. This, all these different philosophies, or if you want to call them.
Yeah.
Because they're all man-made, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the end, by God's grace, I started praying the rosary because I thought, you know what, as a backup.
How did you even know how to pray the rosary?
Well, I was brought up a Catholic, you see. So, and when I left school, I stayed Catholic. I was always Catholic.
But a lapsed married, Catholic.
Yeah,
right.
A lapsed Catholic.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know what, the only prayer I know is that Our Father, Hail Mary, and the Glory Be.
Oh, you remember that.
Those are the only prayers I remembered.
All right.
So I said, as a backup, I'm going to start praying Our Father, 10 Hail Marys, and the Glory Be.
And I started doing. You still had your rosary then?
No, I didn't even have. I don't even think I had a rosary. But I got from my mom, you see.
Okay.
After her death, all these things, and they
popped
brought
up,
me
yeah.
to tears. Because she was very devout.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You see, she was very devout.
She probably prayed for you.
Daily
don't you
mass.
Think so?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
It was her prayers that got me where I am. It was definitely. And then, as a backup, I started praying a decade of the rosary morning and evening.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 months later, I had an encounter with Jesus. I saw him. In this, you know, a vision of him on the cross.
They're like, no way.
At my lowest point.
Yeah.
Because I was really searching for him.
Mm.
My heart, I was opening my heart to look for him. But I didn't know Jesus. Eh? I thought God. Because these other religions make this weird idea of God.
Mm-hmm.
But in my heart, I was searching. And I really wanted to help. And I wanted to use my blessings to help others.
Mm-hmm.
Then he came. Mm. You know, seek and you shall find.
Mm-hmm. Knock and hopefully the door will be opened. Yeah,
he will not. If you're looking for him with a
sincere,
with a humble, sincere heart,
yeah.
And I also told him in my heart, I did say I would do anything.
Yeah.
to help the poor, even if I need to start a political party. You'll laugh, but I was prepared to do that. But I was asking him for help.
Mm.
How can I help the poor? So we get onto the topic of almsgiving.
Mm-hmm.
How can I help? Yes, you've blessed me with a business. I've got X amount of money.
Mm.
What must I do?
Mm.
Must I start a school? Must I do this? Must I do that?
Yeah.
And at the end of it all, the message was quite simple. Just bring them to me and I'll take care of the rest. So you have to, my advice is if you're giving alms, if you're doing charity, bring Jesus into the equation as well.
You're not a social worker.
Yes. Yeah,
because the government is doing that.
That's right. So you need to bring Jesus into it, and then the healings will be more. So don't just give them the fish. Give them the fishing rod as well.
True.
And Jesus is the fishing rod. Because if you keep feeding a drug addict, what's going to happen? You're going to just feed his habit. But if you keep feeding him food, I'm not saying don't feed him food. But then he's going to think, okay, nice, I got a nice meal every day, and now I can carry on having my drugs. But rather tackle him with prayer to get that spirit of addiction out of him, to bring Jesus into his life, so that he will be transformed and that he will regain his self-control, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit, fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Only Jesus can do those things.
Only Jesus can do that.
It's 14 minutes before the hour 5, and if you've just tuned in, it is Radio Veritas 576 AM with that station that gives you the good news and the good music for a change. Thank you very much for tuning in. If you've just tuned in, where have you been?